Racial prejudice in broadcasting is such an uncomfortable subject that, according to our next guests, no networks want to touch it. J. Fred McDonald also says things are getting worse for black people on television, not better. Mr. McDonald is an historian of the media at Northeastern Illinois University. That's in Chicago. Fred, welcome.
Thank you.
There was a period when television really first came in that there were really high hopes for it.
I think so. At the very beginning, in 1948 and into the early 1950s, television is born. It's a period of post-war liberalism, and many people in the black community and white community felt that at last there was a medium that would employ blacks according to talent, not according to prejudices and traditional stereotypes.
And then in the early 50s, things began to change a little bit. Let me give you an example as we roll a tape of Amos and Andy.
Calhoun, I'm desperate. That's the reason I come to you. I got to get some good, sound advice from some intelligent person.
Well, I'd like to help you, Kingfish, but I don't know nobody like that.
No, Calhoun. You.
What?
Oh, yeah.
Amos and Andy. Now, the NAACP did not like those stereotypes, did it?
No, well, actually, there have been black groups fighting Amos and Andy going back as early as 1931 when it was on radio. But NAACP was in court in 1951 to put an injunction against the program before CBS ever aired it. It was that sensitive an issue.
And it reflected the entire 50s?
I think what it reflects is the fact that the old prejudices, the old stereotypes were still very much a part of the mass audience, and they appreciated it. The other shows that presented blacks in a more serious and a more dignified way tended to drop off, and the old comedy roles, Beulah, the Willie Best programs like Trouble with Father, and of course Amos and Andy, one of the most popular shows in early television, showed the producers and the networks that mass American audiences still wanted their stereotypes.
Now, you say the golden age was the 60s. This might be typical of one of the 60s shows that you like best. I Spy, remember Bill Cosby. Yes.
Scotty, I think you had better pour the champagne.
Yes. Champagne.
Now, why was this a breakthrough, Fred?
Well, first of all, I Spy did not have to have a black man play this co-lead with Robert Culp. And he was cast. Bill Cosby was cast. So that was a breakthrough. It broke the color line. But just that scene we saw there of a romantic interrelationship between two black people, a man and a woman, a tender kiss, and he falls in love with Janet McLaughlin in this particular episode. Mm-hmm. That is amazing. That never happened before. We never saw blacks in serious roles. We certainly didn't have them in romantic roles.
Let's bring it up to date. What about the Jeffersons?
The Jeffersons, I think, is very much a part of television in general today, that we're back to the old stereotypes. They're more stylized, more streamlined. But we still like our blacks as comedy characters. We still like our blacks in supporting roles, helping along great white heroes. We still like our black women hefty and in the traditional mammy role.
Gary Coleman?
The Pickaninny, which we've seen certainly in the Our Gang comedies, Farina, Buckwheat, Stymie, I think is very much a part of that type of programming. When we take this cute little black child and we stick him in the middle of a upper middle class white family, he can't be anything else but the Pickaninny.
Do you see a change in the future coming up?
If there is a change, it'll be because cable is drawing off white customers now to alternative programming. The black audience will become a higher proportion of network audience. It's already happening in soap operas. There are in morning and afternoon soap operas some very serious black characterizations that are still not in prime time.
Very important book, Blacks in White TV. Fred McDonald, Northeastern Illinois University. Thanks very much. We'll be back.